This is ESPN Radio.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul.
I want you to know that your will to live and to fight cancer can make all the difference in the world.
Make a difference today for someone who is fighting for their tomorrow.
It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love.
Live. Fight like hell.
Make your mess your message. Find the meaning behind whatever it is that you're going through, because everybody's got something.
I will never give up. And I will never give in.
You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and we'll go there in a second. But first, we want to remind folks that it's Giving Tuesday, and if you're able to, join us in supporting in the V Foundation for Cancer Research. You can give by going to v.org/donate now. But now that we transition to sports, we got to bring in our good buddy who's actually in studio, Jason Fitz. And Fitzy, before we even get to any of the college football playoff talk and any of the implications that might be around the corner with what's going on with the coaching landscape, I got to ask you first and foremost, why did I not get my weekly text message about the NFL Power Rankings Committee? Because I thought I was a part of it, and it feels like I'm being booted out of it now.
No, you are.
Text me routinely the last couple of weeks. I didn't get a text message yesterday. I'm starting to get a little bit concerned.
You are a valued committee member, my friend. But, you know, one thing that I'm trying not to do is wear everybody out. So we took this week off. There was no committee this week. We'll bring the committee back next week, and it'll be in full force. And you'll have to vote then, all right? And what I hope to do at some point is bring the debate over some of these rankings to the public. Because let me just tell you, not everybody has seen every team the same way each week. It is a very interesting process.
All right, so at some point we will get to Jason Fitz's apparently arbitrarily administered NFL power rankings here. Wow. Apparently you just feel like you could take weeks off here. I thought we were a Patriots-like operation that took no days off, but apparently I didn't know my teammates like that. So we will transition back
Notre
to the
Dame
ranks.
Hurt you today. I expected this. Go ahead.
The college football preview is brought to you by AT&T. It's not complicated. Everyone deserves something new, like a coach. So AT&T is giving new and existing customers their best deals on every smartphone, even the latest ones. Go ahead and get your hate out here, Jason. I'm ready for it.
I got no hate at all, actually. I think what's funny has been from the Notre Dame side of it, so much of the reaction from people on social media about how this should have been handled. I think we've lost a little perspective. Like anybody that's ever had a job with a non-compete, when a company comes in and offers you more money, they don't always give you the time to talk it over and talk to everybody in your organization. You get a new job, you take the job, and then you deal with the team as best you can. It's not like he went out to the mountaintops and said, oh my God, look how much I'm getting paid. I forgot to tell my team about it. Like the process has failed. I don't fault Brian Kelly for the way it went down at all. I just felt bad for you, buddy.
Yeah, Jason, so I think that brings into question whether or not the NCAA needs to step in and restrict coaching movement, especially when you have a team like Notre Dame that is poised to have an opportunity to be in the college football playoff. I mean, this is what it's supposed to be ultimately about, competing for a national title. And just looking at all the different scenarios, there's a chance that the Irish can backdoor their way into being a part of the Final Four and being two wins away from a national title. So I would just ask you, like, is this a conversation that the NCAA needs to have and college football as a whole in terms of restricting coaching movements until after the bowl season?
Yes, but the complication on that is early signing period, right? So if you want to suspend the ability to talk to coaches, they'd have to really adjust everything about early signing, which I'm not saying is off the board. I mean, I love a world where we have to get all the way through the national championship before you can even start talking to coaches. That just pushes everything back from a recruiting standpoint. If we can figure that out, I think that's the by far the most fair thing to do. Also, it lets coaches get a full body of work. I mean, through it all, how much differently do we perceive coaches that go on to win Super Bowls and national championships? So It changes their resume too. That would be a beautiful world, but they'd have to change the early signing period in December in order to do that.
Kenny Angolik Jr. talking to Jason Fitz, co-host of Spain and Fitz on ESPN Radio from 7 to 9, and of Rankings Reaction on ESPN Digital with myself and Christine Williamson. And you mentioned some of the changes there, because it is kind of a weird look now when you've got this that could potentially happen to Notre Dame, a team who's very much still in it, a team like Cincinnati, whose head coach Luke Fickell is one of the names rumored for the Notre Dame job, if you potentially had teams walking into this with interim head coaches. And so, Jason, as you look at the committee rankings that are getting set to come out tonight that we're going to discuss, do you think that's something that we start to see considered by the committee?
I mean, I would. And I can't speak for them in the room, but if you're charging me with the concept of I've got to find the best teams, then I have to look at the entire picture. We hear that every week from Gary Barta when we talk to him. And as you and I both know, they look at players that are taken out of a game. For example, Cincinnati's win over Indiana. How does it look knowing that Indiana lost their best defensive player in the second half to a targeting penalty? That may change the way the committee views it. We talk about that all the time. Well, should the guy on the sideline make a difference? I mean, to me, absolutely. If it's a razor-thin margin between, let's say, Oklahoma State and Notre Dame, and you know one has their coach and the other doesn't, if it's a razor-thin margin between Oklahoma State and even a Cincinnati, if Luke Fickell is taking the job to go somewhere else, does that change the way you view the team? It would for me, so I wouldn't fault the committee for taking it into consideration.
Fitzy, I got to ask you about something that feels like it happened last year, but it only happened a couple of days ago. We got the news on Sunday that Lincoln Riley was going to take the job to be Southern Cal's next head coach. What do you make of the move for Southern Cal, and how does that impact the Pac-12 as a whole?
Well, I think it's the most substantial hiring that could have happened in all of college football this year. And the reason for that is eyeballs, right? Like, Lincoln Riley going to USC means people are going to pay attention to USC football. It means that USC football is going to be, again, catered to make sure that they get the time slots that everybody wants to keep an eye on. Like, we will have more focus on West Coast football than we have in years because Lincoln Riley is at USC. So I think it's huge. But also, you think about the Brinks truck that was backed up there. I mean, quality of life is different for everybody. Some people prefer Oklahoma. Some people love LA, right? And so knowing that you can be, you know, up yours money rich in LA with a free house and they're going to pay off your houses in Oklahoma, like, I don't fault a guy for looking around with his family and saying, hey, we're California people. It just changes the entire pay structure. At this point, we have to acknowledge all the way across the board that just being a relevant program that can win a bunch of games, not necessarily national championships, but at least be in the conversation for natties, is anywhere from $10 to $15 million a year. Like, that's the new going rate.
Well, and Jason, I said this earlier about Notre Dame because that's kind of where Notre Dame's been as of late. You pay for proximity when you are getting these high-level coaches, right? We know there are three, maybe four dominant programs when it comes to recruiting right now in college football. For everybody else, you're paying to be close in that double-digit win range every year with the opportunity to get over the hump. That's where I believe Notre Dame's at right now. That's the charge for whoever comes next. And maybe this moment is sort of the kick in the behind that Notre Dame and their administration and everyone involved in this need to say, all right, we've been at a really good level for a long time. Maybe we can kick it into high gear with the way that we're spending on assistance. Maybe we can kick it into high gear with what we're willing to do and continue to upgrade facility-wise. It has been very good. Maybe this moment signifies, hey, we can push it over to great here, because to your point, that's what all these programs are searching for. They're trying to get back to the point where Notre Dame has been for the last 5 years.
Yeah, but at some point, I mean, I know we know that the money never dries up. But if you look from 2010 to 2021, almost $500 million was paid in buyouts to coaches of basketball and football in college. So $500 million. Like, to me, I keep looking at, okay, if Mel Tucker gets $95 million, you know me, Mike, like, you guys know, like, I'm always a go get your bag. Like, go get paid. Good for you, Mel Tucker. But what's $95 million supposed to get you? Because if we're 3-4 years in and he's still getting blown out by Ryan Day, are those boosters going to be happy with that result? And at that point, when do we start looking at these buyouts and saying, oh my God, like, USC can pay Lincoln Riley a ton of money. They have to decide, are they okay with, as you said, proximity, which I think is a great way of saying that. Is USC okay? Like, are you okay spending that kind of money for that result? If the answer is yes, then this is a perfect marriage. If the answer is you want national championships for that return, I don't know that it's that easy. And also, if all of these guys are worth this much money, the hell is Saban worth? I mean, 25? 30? Like, what? He's sending a you up text to every person that's ever given money because he's about to get paid at a grotesque level.
Yeah, he's worth whatever he wants down in Alabama. I mean, they might make him governor before all is said and done. But Fitzy, the last one I got for you is this. With the two hires that have happened in the last 48 hours, LSU and SC, which program gets turned around first?
That's a really good question. Brian Kelly's won so many games with the difficulty of recruiting at Notre Dame because of the standards that they have. I feel like Brian Kelly is going to walk into a program that's already recruiting well, so they're going to turn around quickly. I do believe that. I know that everybody has said the last two coaches or three coaches at LSU have won a national championship. I would just remind everybody that Saban was one of them, and he went to the NFL. The other two got fired. So, you know, I'm not sure what the expectation should be for Brian Kelly. I think that there's a real opportunity for him to go out and win games right away. There's so much talent on that team. Man, if he can get the heart of that team quickly, then LSU is going to be right in the thick of things next year.
A lot of talent and a lot of expectation for a guy who is leaving a program that we will wait and see later tonight, has been flirting with the top four in the college football playoff rankings for the last couple of weeks, and like Chris Kanny has said, has a chance to backdoor its way into here if some things break their way here. So the expectation is going to be high. You guys can check out Jason Fitz, Spain and Fitz, from 7 to 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio each and every day here, and check him out with me and Christine Williamson coming up at 8 o'clock Eastern on all of your ESPN digital platforms. See you in a little bit, Fitzy.
I'm proud of neither of you since you didn't recognize my amazing Christmas sweater, but that's okay.
You know what? Congratulations, okay. Jason. We are on ESPN2 today, so the fine folks watching E2 have seen your Christmas sweater. Do you want to turn around and show
them? I'll just show everybody that on the back, you really got to see this because like my reindeer is actually pooping out peppermints. So there you go. You're welcome.
There we go. So that is truly terrifying and only something that Jason Fitz would manage to wear into work on a given day.
You're welcome, America.
Coming up next, that is someone's literal bottom. We will get to the bottom five from the NFL weekend that was next on ESPN Radio.
To those of you out there who are suffering from cancer, facing adversity, I want you to know that your will to live and to fight cancer can make all the difference in the world.
This is ESPN Radio.
I never imagined that I'd be able to be standing here 20 years after Jimmy V's speech and say that because of all the donations, research, and support, mine is one of the lives that's been saved.
The voice you heard is that of Robin Roberts, cancer survivor and member of the ESPN family. This is Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and it is Giving Tuesday, so we want to encourage everyone to join us today in supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research. You can give by going to v.org/donate now. It's Tuesday, so it also means it's top five, bottom five, and I gave you my top five earlier in the show, and now it's time to go dumpster diving with Mike Golic Jr. in the bottom five that was in week 12 of the NFL. So Gojo, without further ado, my man.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5. Number 5.
All right, here we go. The bottom 5, gutter, dumpster diving, all the above. Let's get number 5 here. That would be Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks performance we saw last night, Chris. Shout out to Mina Kimes, our resident Seahawks fan and NFL analyst, who went on First Take and pointed out that while we're going to blame the front office and blame Pete Carroll, in the last 16 games, going back to week 10 of last year for Russell Wilson, he is 15th in total QBR, 21st in completion percentage, and 24th in first downs per pass attempt. It has been all bad all around for the big three in Seattle.
No question about it. And Russell Wilson, since he's came back in week 12 from that finger injury, he is worst in the NFL in off-target percentage, and he is first in QBR behind Matt Ryan and Baker Mayfield. So it's all bad for Russell Wilson. I'm not going to just sit here and think that he's not a good football player. I think it's the injury that's playing a role, but also the supporting cast or lack thereof around him. And so it makes it feel like this is his last dance in Seattle, although I don't think it's going to have the same kind of ending that the last dance with Michael Jordan and Chicago Bulls did. I'm just saying.
Number four.
Not going to have that kind of ending. I fully agree with you there. This was also a bad ending that we saw in the Ravens-Brown game. The Ravens repeatedly attempted to run a fake punt by running players on and off the field. The refs kept whistling the play dead because the Browns weren't getting enough time to substitute. Eventually, Cleveland called the timeout because of the issues they were having, and then Baltimore ran it all over again and got the Browns caught with 12 guys on the field. It was an absolute travesty, a sham, and a mockery. It was a Travis and mockery, Chris, and it was just another example of just how ugly that game was.
Yeah, John Harbaugh was going to find a way to be able to make that fake punt work. After Anthony Levine Sr. converted the first time they tried to run it, the refs didn't allow them to have that conversion because the ball hadn't been put in play yet. The Cleveland Browns didn't have a chance to substitute. But, I mean, once you see a team run a fake punt, you're aware of it. You're not going to let them get away with converting on a fake punt the rest of the game. And the fact that it didn't go down like that for the Cleveland Browns and that Baltimore was able to get that in, that just shows you the lack of awareness and the lack of focus that the Cleveland Browns as a team have. And so that's what in part led to that ugly football game that we saw on Sunday night that resulted in another L for the Cleveland Browns.
Another L, another angry player's father taking to social media to criticize Baker Mayfield. Just another day in the life of the Cleveland Browns.
Number three.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Number three belongs to Matthew Stafford. The Los Angeles Rams have been on a three-game skid now going back to that Titans matchup. And in that time period, Matthew Stafford has thrown a pick six in three straight games. He becomes the first quarterback since Matt Schaub in 2013 who did it in four straight games. That is tough company for the guy that they paid a handsome king's ransom to bring over to Los Angeles.
Yeah, multiple turnovers in the last three games, and they're all been L's for the LA Rams. And over the last 4 weeks, no team has allowed more points off of turnovers for their opponents than the LA Rams. And so that has to be a huge concern for Sean McVay, the predictability of his offense and not being able to take care of the ball, possess the ball, and sustain drives. That's a problem for a team that's all in on the next couple of years and winning a championship. You said that trading Jared Goff was going to be the difference in terms of this team getting over the hump. Right now, it certainly doesn't look like it.
Number two.
Speaking of getting over the hump, Kirk Cousins didn't get over the right one this weekend. The Minnesota Vikings were down a score with very little time remaining in the fourth quarter. They had driven down near the red zone, and on fourth and goal, Kirk Cousins lined up under the right guard instead of the center. Their running back, Alexander, tried to go over there and get him lined up in the right spot. They had to burn a timeout, so Kirk Cousins responds by messing that up by throwing the ball well over his receiver's head and turning the ball over on downs before they would eventually lose that game. Ugly stuff.
Yeah, that's all bad. First of all, your quarterback costs you a timeout in that situation, and then he airmails the last pass to Justin Jefferson and not even giving your team a chance to convert and be able to, you know, continue that game. That was crazy to me. Crazy sequence, and you come to expect a little bit more from Kirk Cousins because of the way that he's played throughout the course of this season. But that was yet another moment just reminding you that if you're leaning and relying on Kirk Cousins, that's not an entirely comfortable position to be in. And the Minnesota Vikings found that out the hard way. And this was a team that was in within the driver's seats for one of the wild card spots in the NFC. And now they find themselves on the outside looking in because the Washington football team slid in their slot last night.
Number one.
Number one, as we get all the way to the bottom of this, the Giants and Eagles matchup continues to produce some very critical drops. A lot of people had some words to say about the Giants tight end last year making a big-time drop in that game. But this year, this was defined by Jalen Reagor. Unfortunately for him, as the Eagles trailed 13-7 late in that game, Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, dropped back on a 4th and 10, scrambled and let one rip, and Reagor went up at the 1-yard line and had it bounce right off his hands and hit the turf. Chris, it was a tough moment. Jalen Reagor, the start to his career in Philadelphia, has unfortunately not been the greatest there, and at a bad time for his starting quarterback, we get another one of those games that's going to define probably Jalen Hurts a lot more than Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, but Jalen Reagor feels like he's turning into the new Nelson Aguilar in terms of high picks that drop passes in critical situations. And you mentioned the one on the fourth down, but there was one earlier in that same possession that Jalen Hurts let rip, hanging in the air for 40 yards, ends up hitting Jalen Reagor in the face mask for an incompletion. Hurts couldn't have walked it to him any better, and yet his supposed number one receiver can't come up with the play for him. So disappointing effort, disappointing loss for the Eagles. Not trying to absolve Jalen Hurts, but Jalen Reagor's got to be better in that situation.
The struggle was all too real in Philadelphia. So that's the bottom five from the NFL's Week 12 weekend that was. Coming up next, though, as we continue to talk about the V Foundation here today on Giving Tuesday, we'll talk to one man, part of a group, who's getting ready to reinforce the importance of prevention in the fight against cancer. We will get to that after we tell you about this, the man in the arena. Join host Gotham Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady's meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. It's a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. The 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hate, perfection, and fate in the world of the NFL. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+. Back after this, Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio.
One word.
I'm one of those kids who has cancer.
One hope.
We hope his treatment is working. We just hope.
One mission.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join us in the V Foundation in the fight against cancer. Visit V.org/donate today.
This is ESPN Radio.
Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Today is Giving Tuesday, and we want to encourage everyone to support the V Foundation for Cancer Research. You can give by going to v.org/donate. Now, and we're going to go out to the Goodyear hotline to bring on Dr. Willis L. Lonzer, General President of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And Dr. Lonzer, it's always good to have more Divine Nine on the show, although you know I'm repping that Crimson and Cream. But I wanted to ask you about one of our beloved ESPN family members, the late Stuart Scott, and what your lasting memories of him are and what his legacy means to you to this day.
Oh, it appears that we don't have Dr. Lonzer yet. We'll try an effort to get him here as we have some technical difficulties working right now on the Goodyear hotline. But for context there, as Chris Canty mentioned, the late Stuart Scott, a member of the Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity, and certainly, like you mentioned, Chris, took a lot of pride in that and is someone who, you know, Stuart Scott's legacy certainly a huge part of impacting cancer research and the way it affects minority communities and the ways that that can be different at certain times here. And I believe we've got Dr. Willis L. Lonzer on the Goodyear hotline. Dr. Lonzer, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you. Good afternoon, evening.
Awesome. Thank you for your time, Dr. Lonzer. I don't know if you heard it or not, but Chris just asked for you to reflect a bit on Stuart Scott, our teammate here, a member of the fraternity that you are ahead of here, and what his legacy has meant both to you and to your guys' mission right now in spreading the, you know, idea of preventative measures taken when it comes to black men dealing with cancer.
Well, first and foremost, Stuart Scott, Brother Stuart Scott, was one of our stellar members just in general. He is connected to us through the Museta chapter. He came through at UNC Chapel Hill in the fall of 1984. And in many respects, Brother Scott represents the best of us. He is definitely a person who carried a beacon of light for his career. But when it came to facing and battling cancer, he showed us all his steadfastness, his tenacity, his ability to demonstrate, even when enduring great hardship, that uplifting spirit that he always held, and not only with friends and colleagues professionally, but with his brothers in the fraternity as well. as a scientist and a person involved in medical research over the last 30 plus years of my own career, I can tell you that the efforts here with the foundation, Alpha Phi Alpha, partnering with ESPN and the entire V Foundation drive to spearhead and help to bring awareness and support research is a great effort. And we're very proud to be a part of this and look forward to the partnership as we move forward.
Dr. Lonser, one of the things that will always stand out to me about Stuart Scott was his selflessness while in the face with his own mortality and battling cancer and just trying to make it about spreading awareness about this terrible disease and how people could be a part of the fight in order to help folks get on the other side of their journey in fighting cancer. But one of the things I wanted to ask you about was the Give and Go campaign that you talked about there, or that you mentioned with the V Foundation. How can folks get involved with that, and how does that help in terms of the overall mission to fight cancer?
Well, we, just as you said, know that Brother Scott was very committed to advancing cancer research, and Alpha Phi Alpha is driving the initiative here to be a part of the Give and Go Fight Cancer campaign, where we are encouraging two things. We're encouraging folks to give by making a donation to cancer research and to remind the public to go schedule a cancer screening. These two efforts really should help us to put a dent in the African-American community, but the broader community at large, because we need donations and money for research, but to raise the awareness through pushing cancer screening is a win, because prevention and preemptive measures may extend a person's life because they were able to go in and be screened. So that's what our push is around the give and go to fight cancer, and we're ready to push this along for a month-long campaign. It's kicking off really right around the start of our 115th anniversary, which is this Saturday, December the 4th. We started today a little early to make sure that we are pushing, and we're pushing hard, and we're excited to be a part of this and ready to see us make an impact. Last year, we raised over $41,000, and we're targeting $100,000 this year.
Incredible effort, and have no doubt that, you know, the drive that we saw from Stuart Scott and so many others will be present in that, the push towards making sure that we can get the dollars behind a cause like this, behind all the causes like this to fight cancer research in order to make that kind of impact. Dr. Lonser, we can't thank you enough for giving us some of your time to educate people on how they can help in this regard. Again, the Give and Go campaign that kicks off this weekend but has gotten the early start here on Tuesday. So thank you so much, Dr. Lonser.
Before you let me go, can you let me say this? For those who are members of Alpha Phi Alpha, to encourage donations, we're encouraging $19.06 that highlights our 1906 establishment at Cornell University. And we want to additionally say that we have a special Alpha Phi Alpha branded T-shirt available to commemorate our partnership, with every $25 of that shirt sale benefiting the Stuart Scott Fund. So please come out and support us. We look forward to it.
Absolutely. Everyone, make sure you get out and support that and continue to support the legacy of Stuart Scott in that way. Dr. Lonser, we appreciate you giving us some time today. Really, best of luck with this. I have no doubt this will be another successful year of the campaign for you guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And have a great holiday. And thanks again for partnering with us.
Again, it's Dr. Willis L. Lonser, the Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated General President, joining us here to talk about their Give and Go campaign that can help, again, fight cancer. And we know cancer affects a lot of different communities differently, Chris, and what he just described there, prevention. It always seems to go back to that, but especially in this case, to remind people to go out there to schedule their yearly checkups and to make sure they're being diligent when it comes to their health.
Yeah, it's like you said earlier, this is something that's easy to look the other way on when it comes to your personal health, because you don't want to necessarily face your own mortality. But raising awareness for it, early detection is one of the keys to being able to fight cancer and beat cancer. And so we just want to encourage everybody to make sure that you take that responsibility seriously. Go out and get yourself screened, especially when it comes to Black men in the Black community, making sure that this is one of those things that we are intentional about doing because of how we're impacted by this terrible disease.
Incredible stuff. So again, we've told you all day about v.org/donate, but also make sure you check out the Give and Go campaign, the Stuart Scott Memorial Fund, all of these great ways that you can support the cause of eradicating cancer and making sure that this is a problem that the next generation has to deal with less and less. Coming up next, we will finish off the day going 3-and-out here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
I'm still here. I'm fighting. I'm not losing. But I got to amend that. When you die, that does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live.
I never imagined that I'd be able to be standing here 20 years after Jimmy V's speech and say that because of all the donations, research, and support, mine is one of the lives that's been saved.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appeared via the Goodyear Hotline, and we want to give a shout out to all the guests that joined the show today: Rod Gilmore, Shelley Smith, Bob Valvano, Dan Orlovsky, Jason Fitz, and Dr. Willis L. Lonzer, who is the general president of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated and who has partnered with the V Foundation through their Give and Go campaign. It is Giving Tuesday, and so we want to continue to remind everyone to join us in supporting the V Foundation for Cancer Research. You can give by going to v.org/donate. Right now. And Gojo, right now for us, it's time for us to get to 3-and-out.
Sometimes it's the worst. Sometimes it's the best. Either way, we'll get you straight with everything you need to know. This is 3-and-out.
3-and-out is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. And listen, we got to start this off. LeBron James had a thing happen, so we got to start here. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Lakers say that LeBron James has entered the health and safety protocols and is out for tonight's game in Sacramento. Chris, I have no idea if we'll ever find out what this means about LeBron James or his vaccination status, but what I do know is this continues another rocky bit of the start for the Lakers pre-Christmas season, where LeBron James will yet again not be on the court for this team.
Yeah, and I keep trying to tell myself as a Lakers fan, I shouldn't be worried because we haven't gotten to Christmas yet. But something about this team just doesn't look right. Defensively, they're a mess. Offensively, there doesn't seem to be any type of flow to this team. And when LeBron is out of the lineup, the guy that we brought in, Russell Westbrook, the one that's supposed to be facilitating everybody else's greatness, has been a turnover machine. So I'm not quite sure what the future for this Lakers team is. And I'm starting to wonder whether or not LeBron James's window for competing for championships isn't slammed shut right about now. I'm just saying it's a little early for that talk, but I do have concerns based on the early returns from this group of guys.
So again, LeBron James in the health and safety protocols, out for tonight's game against the Sacramento Kings. Canty and Golic Jr. here going 3-and-out. Urban Meyer, a coach whose name, as soon as the Notre Dame head coaching job became vacant, certainly became the subject of a lot of meme fodder. I don't know if it'll really branch into reality. He was on a call with the reporters covering the Los Angeles Rams, and when asked about it, said, quote, "I'm not a candidate. Obviously, I spent 6 years of my life there, so great respect for Notre Dame, and as I do USC and UCLA, like we talked about in an earlier call, but I'm committed to the Jaguars and do the best we can to turn this around." Chris, I always thought this would be a reach, especially given Urban Meyer's recent history off the field, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, it feels like a hire that would be beneath Notre Dame. In terms of the overall brand, I don't know that the baggage that Urban brings to the table is something that fits the direction that they want to go in moving forward. So If I were Jack Schwarbrock, this would be a hard pass on Urban Meyer, and considering him with all the other coaches that will be involved in their search, it just doesn't seem like the direction that the program should go in. And let's face it, everywhere that Urban has left has been an unmitigated disaster in terms of the scandal that surrounded those situations. So I don't think that Notre Dame wants to sign up for that.
No, I would agree completely, Chris. So that is not going to be in the future for Notre Dame. Speaking of the future here, Tiger Woods spoke about his in the first interview we've seen since the car crash that he thankfully was able to walk away from now. He said he was optimistic about playing some limited professional golf in the future while also being realistic about the struggles ahead given the perspective he's gleaned. He said, quote, I'm lucky to be alive and also to have a limb after that February 23rd car crash. And Chris, this was the most candid I think he's ever been about his future. And it sounds like he's pretty realistic in that returning full time to the tour is going to be a long shot at best.
Yeah, I mean, a near-death experience tends to put things in perspective. So I can understand where Tiger Woods is coming from. And right now he's focused on being a dad. And, you know, playing golf is secondary or tertiary to anything that he's got going on in his life right now. So it feels like he's got a new lease on life and he's intent on being able to embrace it and take full advantage of it. And that means from time to time playing some golf, but he's not going to be playing a full slate, a full schedule. I don't think his body will allow him to do that. But from, you know, where he's at mentally, I just think he's in a different place.
Yeah, we're happy he is just here at all for us to talk about and to celebrate. Stick around here on ESPN Radio. Spain and Fitz up next.